For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often.
Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, Andre, it's that time of year for bold predictions.
Yeah, 2024 is coming to a close, and 2025 is just like a centimeter away.
So we thought it'd be a great time to ask some of our automotive buddies to make predictions of what's going to happen next year in the automotive world. So in this fun podcast slash video, we're going to ask our man Nathan to make some bold predictions. Moto Man,
Tommy,
Alex Dykes from the Auto Buyer's Guide, and of course, you and me. So let's start with you, and we'll finish with me. So do you have any bold predictions, Andre, for 2025?
Wow, Roman, this is going to be a difficult thing for me because, you know, looking into the future is hard anytime, right? But now we're talking about turmoil in the industry, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the most bloody time in the automotive world I have
Which
seen
could be the funnest time.
In the last 15 years.
Depending on who you are. If you're a fighter, if you're kind of the alpha dog, I mean, it could be really fun.
I mean, Nissan has said that they've got maybe a year of life left. Stellantis just fired their CEO.
Yes.
Yeah,
Ram has a new CEO, which is an old CEO.
Yes. They just took back our man Tim Kuniskis from retirement. I'm just waiting for Mark Allen to come on back to Jeep. Yeah, that's my bold prediction. I'll do one right now.
Whoa.
I'm going to predict that Mark Allen is going to return to the Jeep brand.
He's a designer.
Yep.
Yes.
A head up. A frontal attack on Bronco, because Bronco has been kicking their butt recently.
Okay, well, here's...
Do it, Mark. You're the man. You're the man.
Can I throw a couple of pickup truck predictions in here as well?
Yeah, love that. Go for it.
Okay, so I think pickup truck world is a little bit, you know, the scope is closer, right? So I can focus and I can kind of laser in. And I think GM has done really good so far with their strategy. You know, they have V8 engines. It seems to be resonating. And as well as their full-size SUVs, the Tahoe, the Suburban. So I predict in 2025, GM trucks are going to continue to do really well. They have some weaknesses, but I think they're going to address them.
Andre, can I give you the name of this
what
podcast again?
What is it?
Bold predictions. Bold.
Oh, predictable predictions?
Yeah, this is not bold. What you're saying is GM is going to continue to do what they're doing. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Give me a bold prediction. And if it's true or not, you know, we'll find out.
How about this?
Yeah.
Jeep's life is dependent on the new Recon.
Ooh, that's a
bold
prediction.
The new electric Recon.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's
so I just switched gears completely.
I like that.
Here's where I am. Jeep, you know, Wrangler is struggling. It's been too expensive. Other Jeep products, the Cherokee is gone. I mean, one of the most popular segments in the country, the compact crossover. But I just saw a spy shot of the new Recon, and it looks very attractive, very blocky, very square, and very kind of rough and tough. And I think if Jeep can nail the Recon, their electric Jeep, I think they can, you know, improve.
All right, I'm going to make a bold prediction. I'm going to do them at the end here, but we're talking trucks now. And don't worry, I know this is the car podcast, but Andre over at Truck has done a really interesting podcast about, get this, the very first, or one of the very first, electric campers. So if you guys want to learn about that, head on over to the...
A camping trailer that drives itself, basically.
That's
helps
cool.
the truck.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to make a bold prediction, okay?
What?
I'm going to, you know how every year there's like the it car and it truck, you know, the one that really gets people like juices going? I'm going to say that next year, Ram's new electric range extended truck vehicle.
The Ram Charger?
The Rev Charger is going to be the it truck of 2025. Not the not the Charger, right? Not the electric 1500, but the extended range one. The one
the
with
Ram
the
Charger. And Ram, what's up with the names?
It's so confusing.
Ram, some names going here.
I was working really hard. Yeah, the Charger, you would think would be the electric truck, but it's not. That's the extended range.
Well, there's
truck.
The Dodge Charger, Roman. Which Charger are you talking about?
I know, right? What have you lost all your like
marketing guys?
Guys? Yeah, come on. You used to be so good, right? They had all these cool names.
Little Red Express.
Scat Pack. Daytona. And now we've got two Chargers.
Rumblebee. Come on,
guys. You could do better.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
The Ram Charger, you think the range extended Ram is going to be the truck?
With the Pentastar, it's going to be the it truck. It's going to be the one that everybody's going to be the most excited about, the one that people are going to be talking about, the one that people, you know how kind of the Cybertruck was the it truck a few years ago? And I would say it could be the Scout with the range extender, but that's still too far away. So yeah. For 2025, I'm going with the Ram.
Okay. And my other prediction is that the tiny electric cars, I'm talking about the Kia EV3, I'm talking about the new Nissan Leaf, are going to win the day no matter what. And also Chevy Bolt. Chevy Bolt is coming, and I know there is some pressure against some of these cars, but I think the little guys, the little electric guys are going to win.
I'm going to jump on top of that and actually add another one of my own, even though I did more at the end of this podcast because I was talking to Alex when we did this on a program. So when you get to me, I'm actually in a new electric Audi, the Q6,
okay,
driving through California. But I'm going to make a prediction. So you know how for a long time electric cars were like up here? You know, they were popular. Everybody was like, they're the future. And then there was like this huge backlash against them, right? Kind of culminating with perhaps Trump's victory. I think 2025 is actually going to be the year of the electric car because I think for the first time, electric cars are going to become or are actually affordable. And all those of you guys and gals who, you know, every time we do an electric car review say EV junk or, you know, piece of you know what, I think you're going to figure out that when you can go and buy or lease an electric car for almost zero money, which is what's happening right now, this is a great time to buy one, that maybe your head will win out over your heart, and you'll find out that maybe an electric car isn't as bad as you think it is, especially when it is a tenth of the price of the internal combustion engine. And I think that along with a lot more like Teslas coming on the used car market, and these insane electric car leases right now is actually going to get people who wouldn't normally maybe take a look at electric cars, and maybe they'll figure out that it's nice having your house as a gas station, Andre.
Yeah, but Roman, a lot of these insane leases on electric cars depend on incentives,
right,
or tax incentives. And if that strategy, if that goes away, all of a sudden an electric car, well, maybe large electric vehicles, no longer have an advantage because they still cost more to build.
Yeah, I agree. That's going to go away. There's no doubt. You know, Trump has said he's going to get rid of that. But at the same time, because of this wave of EV car hate, it has pushed. I believe the last IC Cars study said that electric cars had dropped anywhere from 18 to 25% in value. And that is just going to push all of these electric cars into the general marketplace at a much lower price point than their internal combustion engines equivalent. So, you know, this is where the tire hits the road. If you hate electric cars and you end up going to a dealership, this is a good experiment. By the way, I love your little TFL studios. These are nice, huh?
I like your...
Yeah, so I'm wondering, and you can feel free to answer in the comments. All right, you go car shopping.
Yes.
Let's actually pick two cars, right, that compete. Let's say you go car shopping and you've got the choice between the most popular car in the country, a used one, a RAV4, which also has some of the highest used car prices. And let's say it's, let's call it a three-year-old RAV4, which is probably with 36,000 miles, still in the $30,000 to $35,000 range, right?
Yeah, pretty pricey.
Yeah, that's how much it's going to cost. Yeah. Or sitting next to it is a very similarly equipped electric car. Let's call that the Model Y, which is the most popular car in the world. For $20,000, are you going to actually put your politics ahead of your wallet? Are you going to say, no, I will pay $13,000, $14,000, $15,000 more for the used RAV4 instead of a car that is right next to it that costs, let's say, $20,000?
That's a great question.
Because what's going to happen in the marketplace.
Yeah. And I think a lot of, that's a tough question, but I think a lot of it also has to do with the use case, you know, of the person buying it. You know, if you're near the city, you might lean electric, you know, maybe some shorter trips. If you're living further away, living further away, I think RAV4.
I disagree. That's like this. Okay, so that's like this tired narrative that's been going around. But I think, look, I just road tripped the Volkswagen ID,
and it was a horrific experience.
It was a horrific experience.
Yes,
but there's
would you do it again?
But there's two takeaways from there.
Yeah,
okay? One is that the vehicle does not have enough range. That was definitely given. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In the cold and in the snow, we were getting like 100 miles between stops. But the other takeaway was you wouldn't have had that problem in a Tesla. So that's why I picked specifically a Tesla, because I think, you know, we have done Disney to Disney twice now, once in a Tesla. I have driven a Model 3 Performance back to Colorado from Florida. And yeah, it takes longer, but there is no fear of road tripping a Tesla. It just may take you longer, and it may be less
but convenient. At least it's predictable and reliable.
Yeah, you're gonna do it. There's you're not gonna have a problem road tripping from New York to California in a Tesla. It's gonna work. It's gonna take you, let's say, 30% longer. But is that 30% longer worth that $15,000 that you
have to decide?
You have to decide. Yeah. So that's why I think those realities are gonna start to like actually come into play this year.
Are you ready for my next prediction?
Let's hear it, Andre.
You know how the Toyota Tacoma is the best-selling midsize truck, right? I predict in 2025 that pedestal is going to be challenged
by the Maverick.
No.
By the Ranger.
Yes, I predict that the Ford Ranger and maybe Chevy Colorado, but I think I'm leaning a little bit more towards Ford Ranger, will challenge the Tacoma for supremacy of the midsize truck. And here's why.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
The only thing, I think the Ranger is quite good and getting better and better.
Yeah.
And if Ford actually has enough capacity to build more Rangers, I think they have a big shot to actually take over Toyota.
Well, the problem is they don't have enough capacity, right? The Ranger's built on the same, or has been built on the same line
as
the Bronco.
I know.
And they can't build enough Rangers or Broncos.
I know, but Ford, do something about it, okay? If you can do it, I think the Ranger is a really great midsize truck.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You don't think that the new like all-wheel drive hybrid Maverick is going to be a sales hit?
Because you know, I think it will.
Because I think what's going to happen, well, this is also.
But it's a different class.
So that car, that truck is built in Mexico.
Yes.
Right? And if Trump imposes a 25% tariff on everything made in Mexico, then despite what he has said himself, that vehicle is going to be at least 12 to 25% more expensive like that.
And that will eat away at the popularity of the Maverick right away.
And then there's something else that'll happen.
You know what else is made in Mexico?
What?
Every Tacoma.
Same problem, 12 to 25% more expensive. And yes. here's the other thing. Let's face it. There is such a thing as corporate greed, Andre. And often what happens is when the price of one car or truck in that segment goes up, the other companies are like, well, we're going to lower our costs. No, they're going to do the exact opposite, right? They'll be like, well, if the Ranger is 25% more expensive, maybe it's time for the Colorado to go up in price a little bit. Because that's just the way that the world works, unfortunately. So I would highly recommend to all of you out there, if you're thinking about buying a new car, do it now. I mean, do it. Seriously, do it now.
This month.
Yeah, do it before the end of the month. Because incentives, always in December, the incentives are the highest. And that's for cars and trucks from all the manufacturers. And everybody is kind of on shaky ground. They don't know what's going to happen when the new administration takes office. So I think it's a wise and sensible guess that prices of both used and new cars are not going to go down. All right. Any more predictions?
My bold prediction is that we will never see ever a plug-in hybrid Gladiator Jeep.
Oh.
You know how we've been waiting?
A 4xe. You think it's ever going to hit?
We've been waiting for it. They said it's coming. And I think it's just it's against
nature.
The winds. I think the winds of the industry.
It's unnatural to have a plug-in hybrid truck. If God had meant it to be a plug-in hybrid, he wouldn't have given it one fuel filling location. He would have given up two.
Exactly. Well, no. Here's the thing, dude. The Gladiator is already struggling.
Yeah.
Right. So in sales.
It's too expensive.
I know. But do you think adding a battery and motors will make it less expensive? No, it's going to make it more expensive than ever before.
I think with Carlos's departure, we bought the cheapest Jeep we could get our hands on like 3 months ago. Recently, at the same place we bought our cheap Jeep, for $5,000 more, we could have gotten a Willys 4xe as opposed to a two-door. This is the unlimited, right? The four-door as opposed to a two-door base model with roll-up windows and a regular key, we could have gotten the Willys 4xe for 5K more. That's how much they've dropped those vehicles. And that also has to do with the giant incentive, right? Okay, we're weird
right,
in Colorado.
Right.
So we don't only get the $7,500, but we also get a $5,000 one on top of it.
For the state.
Yeah. So that's, what, $12,500 that most people don't get. Yeah, that is like – and I've always been one to believe, Andre, that if the government is giving away money, take it.
There you go.
All right, let's cut to some of the other bold predictions that some of our other friends have made. All right, Nathan, Andre had these like lame-ass predictions where he predicted that Chevy trucks would keep doing really well for next year. I mean, I'm like, dude, bold predictions. I'm expecting better of you. So what are your bold predictions for 2025?
I think we're going to see the end of one thing and the beginning of another. How about that? It's like a big start. And then you're going to say, well, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I predict that Tim Kuniskis will come back to Stellantis. Oh, wait, he's already there.
Yeah, he's
I predict
Ram. Andre already mentioned that.
But no, I predict that they're going to dump him, not just like Ram. He's going to move on and run North American Stellantis. Pretty much everything that's for sale there, they're going to put on him. That is a first bold prediction.
Okay, yeah? I predicted that Mark Allen's going to come back and run Jeep. Wouldn't that be good?
There is no way in heaven that'll happen. But if it did, it would be amazing because they desperately need that. I think they've realized, at least they've realized they've made some huge mistakes and now they're paying for it. And I think that the time is very short. So Stellantis as itself is kind of like a monkey with too much caffeine trying to figure out how to do algebra. It's just way, way too much stuff going on, convoluted and difficult. But I truly do believe that they just need a strong leader in order to tie up a few loose ends and make things happen because they do have product. We do know for a fact that they've been working on things. You've got, exactly, you have the Charger. They don't use Challenger anymore, do they?
I know, it's so stupid. There's a Charger car and there's a Charger truck. It's just, they've given up on like cool names. So here, let me ask you this. You predict this will succeed or flop, the new all-EV, e-muscle Charger Daytona SRT?
First year, it's going to sell well, I think, because there's the curious people who will buy it over the first year and pay stupid premiums. Second year, it's going to start to dip. And by the third year, it's going to be in deep trouble unless they build a much less expensive version and make it more competitive. Because honestly, it's awesome in terms of it looks cool and it apparently it's a fun thing, but it is not financially on parity with a lot of other vehicles that it could technically compete against. So it needs to be. So by the third year, if they don't do that, done. So this upcoming year, it will sell a lot. There'll be stupid, stupid price gouging at dealerships because they don't care about their bad reputation. So that'll happen. I predict, though, that the straight six version is going to sell like hot cakes. It's going to do very well because it's something that people are dying to get, and it's not quite that Hemi. By the way, I also predict that they might bring back the Hemi.
Yeah, so we learned that Carlos actually killed the Hellcat. That was one of the things that he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still – okay, so here's the problem with that. I wish they would. So, you know, they're still building the Durangos special editions with the Hellcat engines. But yes, apparently they built those engines ahead of time. And so they, you know, they have them in stock, but they can't, I guess, reopen the assembly line for them, which I don't know. I mean, imagine if – like we were talking with Cole, I remember I was doing this road trip in the new ID Buzz and it didn't turn out very well. Watch the video at LTFL if you want to see what happened. But Cole and I were talking, my videographer, and we were like, hey, what if they had actually put a gas engine in that thing? I mean, that thing would sell like hotcakes. It's just like this, right? If you put the RHO powertrain into it, which is a Hurricane, then I think you're right. This thing is going to fly off the shelves.
Ah, let's see. Here's my magic.
Okay.
What is a Hemi? Is a Hemi necessarily a V8?
Well, it has been traditionally.
Hemispherical heads actually have existed on many different types of engines.
Yeah, the
including,
two, you know, the Citroën DS has a Hemi.
Exactly, which is why it's so awesome.
The Tusker has a Hemi.
Some Czech car had it too. The point is, what if they, in a marketing coup, were to slightly change the head design and call it a Hemi and say the Hemi's back? I think that something like that could happen because it's still going to be a six-cylinder. They still might find a way to make it relatively efficient and powerful. But at the same time, just using a little bit of magic fairy dust, I don't know, add 10% of the horsepower to it. The Hemi's back. Here's your Hemi. Yeah, it's not a V8, but it's a straight six and it's a Hemi. Everybody's happy, and I don't know, make the exhaust a little bit more macho. Sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you, Nathan. I think
right. Am I bold and am I logical? I am both.
You're both. Any other predictions that you might be thinking about?
Well, with Stellantis, that's all I got with Stellantis. There's plenty of other automakers though.
All right, keep going. What else do you think? What makes them more bold? It doesn't have to be by brand. It could be like, you know, I was talking to Alex Dykes. And he predicted, and I'm going to spoil the segment coming up, but he predicted that, you know, Nissan will merge with Honda.
Okay. I think he predicted,
or maybe he predicted it'll merge with Toyota, or maybe he predicted it'll go bankrupt. I don't know. It was one of those three.
A lot of people have been saying Nissan's going to go bankrupt. They're not going to go bankrupt. There's a lot more to Nissan outside the United States in terms of their sales numbers. So you just keep that in mind. But I do predict that Nissan and Mitsubishi are going to speed up their plans to build a PHEV small pickup truck, and that will be coming soon. Really more of a car than a truck, you know, that type of thing, kind of like the Hyundai Santa Cruz, that type of thing. So stay tuned for that. I think that's going to be coming sooner than you think. So there's one.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I think that's a really astute prediction, my man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, I can't make any predictions because my segment's still coming up, so I have to leave it to you to do one last one. Very bold one.
A very bold one. Let me put in two.
Okay.
Real quick. First one, real quick. All this hullabaloo, is that how you old people say it? Hullabaloo about the Mustang going all electric. I think that that's all being pushed back. All this electric predictions is going to be pushed back a few years. I think that's pretty logical. Most of us get that, okay? But there is this new market segment that's starting to really hit hard. And that is, a lot of people want that PHEV, the plug-in hybrid system. So Honda will return with a PHEV Honda Element. It won't be called Element. It's going to be called something else, but it's going to be a small plug-in hybrid, somewhat off-road capable vehicle with the weird doors and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I think that we're going to start hearing about that soon.
You know, here's one I would have never called, speaking of Honda, and yet it's happening. You know, the Prologue, right? The rebranded GM Altium Blazer is selling like hotcakes. Who would have thunk? Why do you think that is? How come the Prologue is selling and no other electric cars are selling?
Well, first of all, it's a really good car. Yeah. It is. It's a good car.
It's outselling the Blazer. I think they sold over 20,000 units so far.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, I think that the design externally, a lot of people agree with me, is really nice. It's a very smooth, futuristic design. It's not overwrought. And I think that it appeals to a certain type of person who wants a Honda product, but doesn't necessarily want, you know, something that's stodgy and boring. So this is a really cool design. A, B, the interior is unique. And unlike General Motors, they still have Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Ooh, zing!
You nailed it.
Boom!
Boom, boom.
Yeah! Yes. But I honestly...
Mary, you know, you listening?
But think about it. How many people buy electric vehicles because, oh, that's a passionate thing? Not many. I think a lot of people buy electric vehicles based on the fact that they have all the gadgets and gizmos and goodies that they want. And honestly, when you have something that is as intuitive and as simple as Apple CarPlay and Android Auto that simply work with your car, having to go to this bespoke standard system, I was going to say a bad word, but I didn't, no bueno. And I think that that's exactly why, on top of the design and some of the other things and incentives, that Honda has managed to absolutely demolish General Motors when it comes to sales and leases.
All right, so here's my, I'll do one bold prediction, okay?
Yeah.
I think electric cars have been marketed, think Tesla, think Rivian, think Lucid, right? To like tech bra, right? Those guys, right? The young, the hip, the crypto friendly. And I think what Honda stumbled onto was that electric cars probably are better marketed to and happily bought by, let's call it your parents and my parents. Because, look, those people value frugality, right? They don't really care about like driving performance or enthusiasm, right? What they want is a dependable car that doesn't cost a lot to operate, that they don't have to take into the dealership very often for servicing, that they could, you know, fuel up at their house. And I think that we've been selling cars to the wrong people. I think the Honda buyer is the electric car buyer. That's my prediction.
I would agree with you 100%. I think that the marketing has been screwed up for years when it comes to many electric vehicles, because you got this huge chunk of people are like, oh, I want to be a first adopter, blah, blah, blah. But then you have this other group. It's like, well, you know, maybe I'd think about it, but all these bros are buying it. You know, I don't want a damn Cybertruck. I just want something really simple that I can plug in and maybe carry a little bit of cargo and not cost me an arm and a leg. And that's the other thing, is that Honda has managed to keep that price relatively good. And here in California, which is where they sell a majority of them, obviously there are some incentives and whatnot. But bottom line is that Honda has been doing quite a good job. And I do predict, by the way, that the new Passport, which we've reviewed the heck out of, is going to be one of their best sellers by this time next year. It's the buzz is huge, and it's a good vehicle.
Agreed. All right, last question for you, Nathan. Since you're in California, I think Andre and I both agree that Trump will kill the electric car incentives first
Oh,
day.
yeah.
They're gone. And Newsom has said or threatened that he's going to bring them back for Californians. Will that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will. It's not, and I don't want to get into the political bent of
Governor Newsom.
everything.
Yeah.
If you don't say Gavin Newsom's name right, and if you don't compliment his hair, they do come to your house and tase you.
Okay, sorry.
Mr. Newsom, you
Luckily,
have
I'm not in
wonderful
the
hair.
state, so you're in more danger than I am.
No, look. It's pretty obvious that this is what was going to happen. We've been preparing for this for a while. And so what will most likely happen is that it won't be immediately cut. I think it'll have to taper off because there's plenty of people in the queue who are still lined up to get, federal assistance in terms of EVs. But I don't think it's going to completely go away. And I have a very simple reason why not all federal assistance, tax credits, and whatnot will completely vanish. And it's one word. Musk. He is the new BFF of our incoming president. As such, he happens to run this small company called Tesla. And for him to achieve some of that, extra cabbage coming into his company with perhaps some tax breaks and whatnot would, obviously benefit him. As such, it makes sense that they would find some way to extend, but not in a different world, maybe call it something else, call it something, a little bit more, conservative. But the bottom line is that yes, there will be a change. It will stop, but I think they're going to continue it in a different way,
Okay.
probably at a lower rate.
How about something like Make America Electric Again? Because we did start a
You
electric.
know what? You know what? It's actually really good. Roman, well done. No, that's actually pretty. I think that there will be, and look, what they're. But I'm trying not to keep like the politics out of it because I just honestly,
No.
neither of us really want to get there.
Let
But
me tell you this before you go there, okay? You'll
okay.
find this interesting.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Do you remember when you were still a Coloradoan and we were jealous of Californians because they could like lease a Fiat 500e for like $49 a month? Remember that? Remember those days? Do you remember those? And I thought to myself, I would for $49 a month, I would lease a car. Well, as you know, we leased a Nissan Leaf for $9 a month. Well, yesterday, Grant, our man who does our sponsored videos and all of our advertising, went and leased a Fiat 500e for just the sales tax. Just the sales
And
tax.
you guys have the videos out there of Case, who I think he also got
He
$49 a
got
month.
$49. So guess where Tommy is right now?
Getting a 500E.
Yep. And he lives out in rural Colorado, so his taxes are even lower. So
Oh,
the
that's
way it
right.
works is he may be able to lease a 500E, no lease payments whatsoever, for 27 months for less than $1,000.
Big question though, what's the mileage? Because there's leases always
10,000
have a mileage.
10,000 a year.
Okay, 10,000 a year. Oh, okay. I mean, that's not too bad considering how far he is. That would
Would
probably
you
be
do
the
that?
one
Would
thing.
you lease an electric car for 27 months for less than $1,000 a year?
I
I mean,
would, but
less than
I'd also have
$1,000
to.
all in. Sorry, all in.
No, I mean, it's cheaper, literally cheaper than any other way of going. Even having a gas vehicle used that you paid for, it's actually
It
cheaper
would
at
be
the
more
breakdown.
expensive to walk because you would wear through more shoes.
But I know. But here's the important thing that I think a lot of people forget is that is the insurance. You do have to pay higher
Yes.
insurance rates. Car's not paid for, so that means that it needs to be fully covered. And different insurance companies do have different rates based on leases. So you have to make sure that that's cool. But Actually, Case covered this. He talked about it a little bit in his video. And yes, you could do that. Here's the funny part. So California, right? The green capital. This is where all the green is. You know how much it would cost for me to do that same thing?
A lot more.
About $120 a month, as opposed to $49 per month.
Yeah.
And I
dropped you know why one that of the, is. So the way they can do that is basically the dealer takes the, because for the lease, you get the incentive, right? So you get the $7,500, and in Colorado, we get another $5,000. So that's $12,500. So basically, the dealer and the manufacturer take that as their profit. And then, you know, the Tommy pays the taxes, and that's how you get a car for under $1,000 for 3-year lease with no monthly payments.
Do you know what this means? In about a year and a half, I'm going to start looking for used newer 500Es, which, by the way, I think are decent cars.
Yeah, they're not bad. Just 150.
I mean, they're purpose built for one thing, as opposed to, you know, being multiple cars. But it's, I've already looked at my son and like, you might be getting one of these, and it's pretty damn funny when he sees one, because I don't think they're a little effeminate for him, I think. And
well, it's red. So it's like, they're all red.
Well, the cheap ones are.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna. There's a Gucci one. Hi, son. Here's a Gucci car. Hey, let's put a shotgun rack in there. We can make it a little bit more macho.
There's a rose gold. Yeah,
but they're gonna be super cheap in a couple of years, because once they go through their lease and they have the miles on them, we all know that a lot of electric vehicles drop their value like a lead stone. So could be worth buying.
Let me ask you this, Nathan. I'm gonna throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into this. Have you gotten your California license yet?
My driver's license?
Yeah. Oh shoot! If you're a Colorado resident, still you could have come here and you could have road tripped that bad boy back.
Had I known, I seriously would have done that. And actually, I've been talking to my daughter.
It'll show your address.
I'm just gonna show you the picture.
Okay.
Because you can. What I was told is look like an inmate. And that way, they'll make sure that they don't arrest you or tase you or possibly shoot you. So, well, anyway, I'm not going to show you the whole thing, but there's an inmate photo of Nathan.
I got you.
All
right, I'm going to keep throwing monkey wrenches, okay?
Yeah.
So think about this. Tommy can get this vehicle for 3 years with like 20, whatever it is, 23,000 miles for less than $1,000 all in. You have a daughter who lives here.
Yes, I do. And right now,
she's a Colorado resident.
She is. And here's the funny part. Her car is not doing well right now. It's actually right now being serviced. I'm big surprise.
And she would do well with a little 500E.
Well, considering what she's done to other cars in the past, I think having something that is fully insured and, you know, yes. So the only reason we haven't gone there yet is because she's going overseas for a semester.
Perfect. Once she gets back. Guess where that car could go?
I know, seriously, because she's going to Italy, because, yeah, the car.
Guess where it could live for that semester. It might end up in California. You could come pick it up.
That wouldn't be a half bad idea, but I don't want to road trip a 500E out here.
Here, I'll do better than that. If keep in mind, you got to do this before the end of the year. So you got okay. And they said once word gets out about this, I think it's going to go pretty quick. But they said they're getting 40 more. So they have 6 left, and they're getting 40 more that they're going to lease. But I'll do you one better. If you decide to do this deal with your daughter, I will road trip that bad boy back to California with you. Me and you will have to do a video where we'll try to road trip a car with 150 miles of range through the winter, over Vail Pass, through the Eisenhower Tunnel, back to Cali. I'll go with you.
I'll reach out to my daughter. It's worth thinking about. It's one of those things where it's still got to go back to Colorado in 6 months. But yeah, it could be interesting. Let's talk about that a little bit later. I'll talk to my kid and see what she thinks.
Give you a little food for thought. All right. Well, thank you, Nathan, for your bold predictions. We're going to move on to our friend, Moto Man, who's coming up next, and let's see what he has to say.
All righty, see you guys.
So we're here with my favorite YouTuber. Seems like a bad term now these days.
Wow, I thought that was the cool thing now. Everybody wants to be a YouTuber.
I'm going to say my favorite automotive journalist, person in the industry, Moto Man. And Moto Man has got an incredible YouTube channel. How long have you been doing this?
God, 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
And
I literally am a YouTube grandpa. I have given birth to generations of YouTubers.
When I first met Motoman, I think I was probably 12.
You were 12. You weren't even in high school. Uncle Nathan and I sent him off. He did this cruise. It wasn't a cruise. He did a semester at sea.
Yes.
And I don't know if you're aware of this, but we paid the staff on the ship to make sure you talked to girls.
That didn't work very well.
It didn't work very well. No, it didn't. But that, maybe we should get our money back.
That ship was 75% women.
What?
75% women. And believe it or not, I still saw zero action. That's how terrible I was back
then. Thank God he is married. At least he landed the plane. Took him a while. What am I saying? I'm not even married. This guy's married, and he's like half my age.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
Nathan came up with this concept and said, I want you guys to come up with some bold predictions for 2025. And we're going to get his take as well. I have no idea what they are. But apparently...
So Nathan has a bold prediction?
Apparently.
Whatever it is, it's wrong.
Out of the gate.
That's my bold prediction. Okay, we're done. We can leave.
All right, we're good.
Let's go to dinner.
No, so yeah, it was actually an email we got sent, which was like, this guy was watching an NFL sports show, and it was like, bold prediction 2025. And Nathan was like, I bet we can do something for the automotive industry. So what's your bold prediction?
I have a bold prediction.
Okay, what you got?
And it's not something that is going to manifest maybe in 2025, but the foundation will be set. There was a hard, hard lesson in the Porsche world. They switched Macan to all electric.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. And I don't mean because, like, I'm not anti-EV. I'm anti-governments forcing it down our throat kind of thing. And that was this wonderful car that had this, it was a great car to drive in, was practical. Problem is, it's not selling as they thought it would, by a lot. They're having some struggles in the technology, and they're really concerned that the market is not going to respond moving forward. So as a result, last minute before the car came out, they said, okay, we're going to keep the gas car in production indefinitely to be able to sell a gas car. And I think it was a hard lesson for Porsche, very visibly to the rest of the world and probably the entire Volkswagen group. And I think that's going to have a huge impact on all these other companies that said, we're going all electric. And they're going to roll that back.
Interesting. Now, when you say roll it back, that can mean a couple of things, and it can also be more challenging for some platforms than others, like the Macan EV. Is that an EV-specific platform?
Yes, it cannot be. According to Porsche, it cannot be re-engineered. What I think is going to happen is stuff that is either half-baked or stuff that's just, you know, on the drawing board now, they're going to make the changes where, okay, we're going to do what BMW does. We're going to have the same platform, gas or electric or plug-in hybrid, you choose.
So as you know, it's monumentally expensive to develop a new ground-up gasoline engine, right? Which is why we've only seen a few generations of small block over the years. Fundamental differences between GM small blocks. Are we going to see future investment in internal combustion engines?
Yes, but different.
What? How different?
So you're already... I remember there was this article in one of these publications you and I read about sunset pricing for internal combustion engine cars. And I'm like, this guy, you know, the fat lady hasn't sung yet. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And here's a bold prediction. I think you're going to start seeing... engine families that will be used in multiple brands. Mm. And I don't mean across Volkswagen Group. I mean more, you know how like Mercedes and Nissan and Renault came together and like they share that 9-speed transmission, not the one with the CVT. I mean the 9-speed that's behind like in the Z and it's also in the Mercedes.
Or Range Rover with BMW.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think what you're going to see are these joint ventures where you're not going to have like 2-liter four-cylinder engines, one from GM, one from BMW, and one from Mercedes. You're going to have one.
Mm.
And I think more car manufacturers are going to share that. Is that for 2025? Probably not.
Okay.
But I think moving forward, as you start seeing the segmentation of, like, EV's not going to go away, but it's not going to take over the world.
So what about hybrids? What's the future of the hybrid? Are we going to see more plug-in hybrids?
More.
Plug-ins
Much
or
more.
Standard hybrids?
Both.
Both.
And I'll tell you why. So my prediction I already gave you for 2025?
Yes.
I'm very confident and definitely smarter than Nathan because it's already actually true. There was an earnings call in March for General Motors. Mary Barra, who has always been very pro-EV, and I don't think it's because she believes the Kool-Aid, or she drunk the Kool-Aid. I think it's because she thought the governments would pay for her R&D. And the cars haven't famously sold, as you guys know. So what did she very famously on that call did an about-face and said, we are going to rush hybrids and plug-in hybrids to the market. Why still hybrids? Because even though they don't give you the full efficiency and battery electric range, they're much cheaper to produce, and you still get 90% of the goal, which is reduce tailpipe emissions.
Mm. That's interesting. Okay. Do you like plug-in hybrids?
Love them.
What about that argument, it's the worst of both worlds? It's a bad gas car, it's a bad EV.
You know, it's funny. This is where we get into life advice. Your life is as good or as bad as you see problems and kind of respond, how you respond to the world. And this is kind of level-setting expectations. We can go through life and say that, you know what, shame on you for coming to this shoot with me and you're wearing a jean jacket. You should have been in a three-piece suit. You should have looked presentable like a business presenter.
Mm-hmm.
My expectations would be high, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So the expectations of saying I always got to have a battery that gives me 50 or so or more than that miles, the expectations are too high for the entire world because not everybody can afford a $50,000 car.
Right.
And now we're starting to see the fruits of the pushback. All of those cars that came out famously, 3 years ago, the Ioniq 5, the ID4, you know, they're selling, but not nowhere near the volumes.
Yeah.
And this is just, I think this is a life lesson, not specific to the industry. Sometimes you got to level set your expectations.
So one of the big words that's been floating around lately is the bankruptcy word. Specifically involving companies like Nissan, like Stellantis. Do you think 2025 is the year we start to see some of these big companies start to fall?
Fall is a rough term,
okay.
Especially when you deal with a Stellantis, because I've said very, very many times, Stellantis is more in the business of employing Europeans than they are making cars. The Agnellis literally, if you ever see the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where they foisted the secretary onto somebody else, she was so bad, he had to foist her onto his friend, and the friend finally realized she was terrible, and he confronts Larry and says, you foisted me on. And that's what the Agnellis did.
And that's the Fiat family?
Yeah, who controlled the business. They were like, we got to get out from these pension obligations, we got to get her out from these under from these union. We got to get out from under these union obligations. And they saw the French government and said, sucker, and they just foisted it onto them.
You really think this would happen?
Absolutely. Yes.
What about, you know, the pride of Italy? You know, the engineering might of Fiat and Alfa Romeo?
Too many brands chasing the same volume that effectively do the same thing. I understand Europe is very provincial in their buying habits for cars, but that's changed. As the Chinese manufacturers, and I am no fan of the Chinese manufacturers, as the Chinese manufacturers have come in, they've brought that wall crashing down because the price delta is so big that even the Europeans will buy the cheaper car. So now you've got, four brands in Europe chasing the same volume just from Stellantis alone. Then you got to throw in the Volkswagen volume, which has its own four brands. Then you got to throw in who else? And then the other French car manufacturers, they got their own brands to deal with.
Right.
It's too much. Where, you know, it's funny, many years ago, I think your father and I were talking about this 15 years ago, I'm showing my age, we both agreed that it wasn't Fiat that was going to save Chrysler, it was Chrysler that was going to save Fiat. And I would say that is the same thing today. So when you, a very long answer to your question, will there be a bankruptcy? No.
Okay.
I think it'd be like, you know, there's no such thing as a plane repossession or an airline going into a full-on liquidation. There's some in really bad cases. What they do is what's called debtor in possession financing. So the debtor keeps the assets, the plane, and they operate the assets so they can get the hell out of bankruptcy. I think that's the kind of thing that'll happen with Stellantis, where the debtor will keep the assets but shed the ones that don't work. So you finally will get a company that has just Ram, just Jeep, maybe one car brand, like a high end and a low end, and that's it.
So, and that's a good point. Bankruptcy is the wrong word. But in 08, 09, right, we saw the death of the Hummer brand and the Pontiac brand and Saturn.
Yeah.
Like, could that happen going forward? Like, is Chrysler going to make it through the next couple of years? The brand.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Short of a miracle, I don't think so.
Wow, okay.
Because, again, you have too many brands chasing the same volume. And now you add in China. Now, China's a special case because China is dumping cars. That's my problem with China. They dump product in every market outside of their domestic market. Now, I'm a big believer in the free markets, but when the government is literally, it's like the dealing with the mob. It's like the Black Hand, like in the Godfather movies. You can't compete when a government is funding your development. Mm-hmm. A government is funding your cars, and you're dumping the cars that a $30,000 SUV, and you're dumping it for $20,000. Look at what happened to the steel industry in the U.S. You know, the Japanese dumped steel into the U.S. Now the U.S. steel industry, it's bankrupt. Actually, U.S. Steel, the company U.S. Steel, is bankrupt now. And it's now on the auction block, wants to be sold to Japan, and both administrations want to block it.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What about Nissan? What's happening with Nissan next year?
What's happening with Nissan? I got to tell you, you know, I just got out of a Nismo Z. I think it should be the base Z. It's actually good when it's a Nismo Z, but it's painfully too expensive. But I think it's like the canary in the coal mine for Nissan, because Nissan can make a good car.
Sure.
They're reliable. I think Alfonso has done an amazing job with the design. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this, and please don't hold this against me. I think the Murano's a good-looking car.
Yeah.
Don't think I've gone crazy and I like practical cars, but it's attractive.
Mm-hmm. Armada looks good, too, now?
Armada looks good, but I've always liked that Patrol Armada.
Yeah.
But it's not just those. Like, even the Rogue. Like, what did that come out in, 21?
Mm-hmm.
A Rogue is literally, it's a Me Too car. I got a Nissan Rogue. Yeah, Me Too.
Yeah.
And the Rogue is a decent-looking car. The interior is screwed together nicely. I think they just need to focus where they want to go, who they want to be, and like Chrysler, they've got to par down the product lines. I think they need a little bit more efficiencies between the French brands and the French brand, I should say, and the Japanese, because there's some stuff that they can bring over from their French brand that would work well here.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think so.
Well, Moto Man, thanks for talking to me.
A pleasure.
We'll see how your opinion matches Nathan's.
And Nathan's always wrong.
Nathan's always wrong.
Oh, by the way, your father was wrong, too.
Okay, he was wrong as well. You heard it here first.
The only person that wasn't wrong was Andre.
Alex, Tommy asked us to give us some bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
What's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction is that Nissan's going to get acquired. My question is, by who? Is it going to be Honda or is it going to be Stellantis?
I was going to say that Stellantis is not good. I would say neither. I'm going to go with Toyota.
Toyota, wow.
Because Toyota's got deep pockets. They're competing.
They do.
They're competing with Nissan and...
But they've already got their fingers in Subaru and Mazda.
So why not Toyota?
Okay.
I mean, why not Nissan?
Okay.
Yeah.
They could become the Japanese car company.
Yep. All right, my bold prediction. This isn't so bold, but I think it's absolutely true. I think the plug-in hybrid will be the it car for at least the next 2 years.
I could see that.
Hybrid.
Yeah, the plug-in hybrid.
Hybrid,
I could
right?
see that. I could see that. I'm going to go with EV tax credits probably going to die in 2025 and be replaced by some sort of strong tariff that will have the same effect, but without the tax credit label.
So we're here in California driving the new Q6 e-tron. And will California, in fact, take up where the federal government left off? Because Newsom has said that he will reinstate the tax credit in California, but does California even have enough money for that in their woeful budget?
Yeah, the sexy 60, right? The 6 e-tron, the sexy 60, no?
Yes.
No? Is that... I don't know if
you live here, dude. Tell me, do you have enough money to do that kind of stuff?
California does have a lot of money in reserves.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they're going to jiggle the budget around. California always seems to come out on top with the budget eventually. You know, is that the right economic policy? I don't know. It's probably going to be definitely skewed towards lower income earners, which I think is policy wise the right way to do that. But I don't know.
All right, I'll make two more bold predictions. I will predict that the truck will continue to be the new family truckster in America. That, you know, for a long time, of course, we've went from sedans to crossovers. But now with Texas leading the way, the truck is going to become the new SUV or crossover.
Mm.
So trucks are going to become the family car of America. It's already that way in Texas, but it will keep migrating to the rest of the states.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, trucks are definitely the in thing everywhere. I don't know if I'd call that a bold prediction. I'd call that following the chart lines.
Yeah, and the other one that maybe isn't bold, but I think is, well, maybe it is bold. So, you know, you just went with Tommy on the new Charger program, right?
Yes.
And I will predict that that will herald a new dawn of large American cars, because that thing is freaking big.
It is big. I will go with my bold prediction that the electric Charger will flop, and the gas Charger will leave people slightly unsatisfied but sell well.
Possible. You think that the Fradsonic exhaust is not enough to get people to
the speaker
go
in the
electric?
Back?
Yeah, it's not a speaker. It's like a.
It's a speaker.
It's not.
It's a speaker.
It's supposed to be like an organ.
It's a speaker, and it lacks bass. It lacks gravitas. That was the thing that I found weird about it, was they rev these things up at the launch, and I'm like, where is that chest-thumping bass that you'd get in a V8 engine? It sounds like a V8 soundtrack you played on your iPhone.
All right. I will make what I don't think is a bold prediction, but I'm sure that, like, especially the stock market folk might think it is, and that is, I think Tesla is in deep doo-doo. To me, the reason for saying that is because new product is the lifeblood of any car company. And while the stock folk and Tesla may consider themselves to be a technology company and not a car company, I think they are a car company, and they have no new product except for some silly taxi that, as far as I can tell, nobody that I know wants.
Yeah, I don't want a Tesla taxi. I would agree with you there. I would say that you know, stock valuation's flopping. That's I never predict on the stock market because it's not rational. But yeah, I'd agree the no new product is definitely a problem. Bold predictions next. I would go for... Let me think. Oh, that turn there.
Thank you. I would go for I can't break this thing. The regen part of the brake pedal feel is...
Prediction. What is my other bold... I had it on the tip of my brain, and now it has evaporated.
I will predict that Rivian will survive, but Lucid will either merge or be bought by another company. Even with the new Gravity, I don't think that company is going to last.
I think we will see more consolidation in the auto industry for sure.
I think that's a good prediction.
Will it be good or bad consolidation? That I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and predict that Stellantis will still make a record profit, and that we're all still going to think that it was a flop anyway.
How about Volkswagen? Volkswagen is having issues right now. They just came out, of course, with the new Scout brand, and 80% of the pre-orders are for the plug-in hybrid range extender.
Yeah, I'm
BREV.
I could see that the best-selling electrified truck in America could be the Ram REV if they can deliver it on time and if they can build enough of them, but I'm not confident on either of those two things.
Yeah, I agree. It's been delayed, and it's been delayed, and it's been delayed for way too long now. I'm really starting to worry about it. I think after the plug-in hybrids, EREVs are going to be the next big thing. And, of course, you know, we've had EREVs, the i3, the Volt, to some extent, is an EREV. But now I think the people are finally understanding what they are and how they work, and I think they're ready for them.
Yeah, and my bold prediction is that we will continue pulling the wool over plug-in shoppers' eyes and call them EREVs instead of what they actually are, which is a plug-in hybrid, because manufacturers love that name somehow, even though they're plug-in hybrids.
Yeah, and I think Hyundai, Genesis, and Kia, which, let's face it, is the same company, are going to stay and continue to push the boundaries of both design and technology. That company is on a roll, and I think it will continue to be on a roll. I also think that BMW has kind of found its footing. I think their plan of building cars that are both electric and internally combustion powered and look the same was a smart way to go.
Yeah, I think that's a win.
I think Mercedes is going to continue to struggle. They seem to be in the woods right now, both in their design language and in their powertrains. And I think that Audi, which we're in right now, will also continue to struggle. I think that they're doing what a lot of companies are doing, and that is kind of copying Tesla in what Tesla has made popular. And you're never going to be successful by following. You got to lead. And I think Audi is doing a little too much following and not enough leading.
you know, I mean, everybody led the Model T, but, you know, we're not driving the Model T, we're driving an Audi. So my bold prediction is that Roman and I will still continue to argue at press programs in 2025.
Yes, I completely agree with that. And my other bold prediction is that no matter what you say, Alex, the Miata is a sports car.
Shots fired.
I went there, yes.
And I will still continue to say the Miata is a sporty car, not a sports car. And that there is a difference.
All right, well, that's certainly a lot of bold predictions for 2025, all of which I'm sure will come true.
All of them. Keep us honest. Please check on us in a year from now, and let's see what happens.
And actually, guys, we like to read our comments. I get up in the morning when the video publishes, and the first thing I do is I read the comments. So I would.
Do you delete those dramatic, horrible robot messages?
I delete those when I can, and okay. I also delete any mean-spirited things. So if you do. Oh, this is going to be funny, but now we're getting serious again. Any kind of mean personal attacks on anyone on the team, you're going to get banned.
Yeah.
That's
always been the case.
Our rules, you know, we try to keep it friendly. So feel free to criticize the vehicles we're talking about, our opinions. But if you start talking about us personally.
And also, we don't pay for robot comments. Whoever said we're actually paying somebody to create robotic nice messages on our videos, no. No, we don't do that.
And we've never paid for anything, actually.
No.
We don't pay for views. We don't pay for comments.
No.
We don't pay for advertising.
That's against our business.
I take all that budget and I funnel it into donuts and bagels.
And you funnel it into old Range Rovers for some reason. And old Land Rovers. Why did you buy so many Range Rovers?
There's something charming about them, Andre. Okay. There
is. And all right, how do we close this?
Hey, give us your bold predictions. We'd love to read them. I will take a look at them and let us know, you know, if we're crazy or if we're on target. And as always, where should they go for all of TFL content, Andre?
All TFL, because TFL Studios, okay?
Yep.
AllTFL.com. We have 8 channels, as you may know, and several websites and other media that we want to put in one place for you to check out.
We'll see you guys next time. Ciao.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.